Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
That now at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
The question is, what are those giving living principles? These really are stewardship truths. We've talked about us being a steward, because this area of money, and we're really kind of pulling together this whole topic of missions outreach and giving of ourselves. And you have to understand that the Lord makes the poor and He makes the rich, as it says in 1 Samuel 2:7. And the scripture says much about this whole topic of money. Out of the 33 parables in the gospel, 16 of them have to do with how we handle money. Christ said more about money and how to handle it than He did heaven and hell combined. And in the Bible, there are 500 references to prayer, 500 references to faith, and over 2,000 references to money and possessions. And the fact is that in our economy today, it's not much different than it was in the life in which Paul wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And so when we say all this, I want you to understand, when we look at 2 Corinthians 8, I want to simply give to you these four giving living principles. Number one, notice, before I give any material possessions to God, He must first want me to give myself. That's what He says in verse 5, when He says that, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." You know what the will of God is? You giving yourself to the Lord. He's talking about Christians here. Who are they? They are, verse 1, the grace of God that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. The churches in Macedonia were the Roman provinces of Greece. Notice what he says in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, they were abounding. They had a surplus of the riches of their generosity. They were giving, notice verse 3, for their power. And these were really characteristics of sacrificial giving. He said, "I'm bearing record, yea, beyond their power." It was beyond their ability. "And they were willing of themselves," he said, "praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." They were demanding, and they had the right to share in this grace. They wanted to be a part of giving. Paul was saying these folks in the north up here were so willing to end up giving that what they did was, verse 5, they first gave themselves to the Lord. And therefore, if He's got you, He's got everything else with this. And the fact is that when we give ourselves to God, everything else comes with it. Point number 2, notice if you would in verse 8, when he says from verse 5 to 8, "insomuch that we desired Titus, as he had begun, so we also would finish in you that same grace." So he introduced Titus as the one that was collecting this money. "Therefore," he says, "as you abound in everything, just as you're abounding in faith and in your speaking and in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, you see that you abound in this grace also." People of Corinth, he's challenging you, people of Corinth. Verse 8, "I speak not by commandment." You're not doing this because you have to, he's saying. You get to, people of Corinth, but by occasion of the frowardness or the sincerity of others, that you would prove or you would test the sincerity of your own love. You know what Paul's saying? Point number 2. Second giving living principle, that the deeper the level of my giving, the greater is the expression of my love. Paul's saying, listen, that same level of love is going to be expressed with the same level of giving, or my level of giving that became sacrificial, these people, he's being challenged that at Corinth, that if they would give, that expression of love was even greater. Because they realized, listen, love is not a feeling. It's an action. And the opposite of love is not hate. Listen, the opposite of love is not hate. It's selfishness. Someone has wisely said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. That's why Paul said, listen, the deeper the level of my giving, the greater is that expression of my love. Number three, he also makes comment in verse 9. He said it this way, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, you would be made rich. That's the incarnation. He says, Paul is addressing by Christ's own example that he gave to us. Number three, he says it this way, I must be willing to be made materially poor, if necessary, in order that I or others might be made spiritually rich. And that's why Paul was saying, listen, am I willing to be made materially poor if that was necessary, as it was with Christ, who spiritually emptied himself so that we would be made rich, in order that those others would be spiritually rich? Am I willing to say, God, I'm going to invest into this so that others would be spiritually rich? We've seen this happen as we've invested towards missions. And you know what that does? That motivates them to say, I'm going to end up continually giving this. It is no different than what Paul is saying and encouraging these people at Corinth. You give. In fact, he went on with this. Notice verse 10. And herein, I'm giving my advice. This is expedient. This is advantageous for you, who has begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward or to be desirous a year ago. He says, now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. You know what he's saying? You follow through. You be faithful. You said, this is what we're going to give. Just like those churches up there, Paul's motivating these people at Corinth. You keep doing that, because the commitments that you make and the giving that you give is the ongoing willingness for you to sacrificially give. And that is a powerful truth, not just in the area of giving, but in our own commitments that we make. I'll give you an illustration of that, even as churches. And this is primarily in the area of finances, but you look at Paul's writings that are inscripturated to us like churches today. If you have said, as he said it this way, if you are saying, hey, I have a readiness to will, then Paul said, then you perform it. You do that. Don't just say, well, you know, I just don't feel good today. Well, there's got to be more than just that, because you're going to feel like that the rest of your life, and you're going to continue to go on with life. You can't check out of life. You got to say, oh, I got to breathe today. So you keep it up. You be in a place to realize, George Mueller said this, God judges what we give by what we keep. Notice that he says it this way in verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to that he has not. Now, by the way, among other things, what he's saying here is he's not suggesting that you go into debt to give. This is not what Paul is saying to these churches. He is saying, and expands it in verse 13, for I mean not that other men be eased and you be burdened. He's not saying to the people of Corinth, listen, everybody else can take it easy and I'm pressing you to give. He's not saying that. He's saying, verse 14, but by equality, or in other words, by equal balance, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want in Jerusalem, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, because you might end up having a need eventually, that they can end up helping you. He that had gathered much had nothing left over. And this is not talking about redistributing wealth, but about meeting basic needs. That's why he says, and he that had gathered little had no lack. You know what he's referring to? Exodus, manna. Evidently, there were people that couldn't get out and get enough manna. So others were going out and gathering more manna and bringing it back to the tents and therefore sharing it because they couldn't get enough. I'm going to get more because I'm more physically able. I'm going to get more for you. And that is exactly the same principle that God holds true today, not only physically and financially, but in many, many ways. Some of you are more gifted and talented in doing more than others. That's why it's always proportionate in its giving that God says, this is the way it has been that I am asking you, do you give? I like what one person said, having all you want and losing everything that matters is not the way God wants us to live. Being in a place to realize that having all you want and you lose everything that matters is the way the world lives. As a Christian, we're in a place to say, God, I'm willing to be made spiritually poor or materially poor, if necessary, in order that I and others might be made spiritually rich. I like when one person said, listen, give God what amount for you is right, not what amount is left. You give what is right. Don't give what's left. Don't end up saying, well, you know, I got to meet all these needs right here. And then what's left? Okay, God, this is yours. And that is never the Bible principle. Always the Bible principle. Proverbs, I'm going to give my first fruits. God, I'm going to give this to you. Whatever that amount is. I find for some, well, this is grace giving. And I say, well, are you at least giving 10%? Well, you know, I got grace giving, man. Amen. Well, I know. Well, if it's grace giving, at least start at 10. Okay, if you're giving more than that, that's wonderful. But you be in a place to liberally say that unknown grace of giving. That leads us to closing here, number four. Fourth giving living principle. I need to learn to give today out of abundance or my supply to meet the needs of others. Believing that tomorrow, if I have a need, God will use the abundance of others to meet my need. And that's what I just read in verse 13, 14, and 15. And just as it was with those Old Testament saints gathering manna as their needed provision every day, so God says, I can end up using that to help others. Now, by the way, this is not Christian communism. That's giving to a state, not to a saint. This is a place to say, just as it was actually in the early church. Do you remember in the book of Acts? They had all things common. Acts 2. Man, they had sharing. They had needs. Hey, you need, here you go, man. Let me, here you go. Hey, you had this need here. It's great. And I'm going to take that. And somewhere over a process of time, that all things common got lost. And over a period of time, you had a Jerusalem church under tremendous, tremendous financial need. So Paul went to these churches, as we noted, all through Asia Minor. And gathering, sacrificially giving, faith giving. And out of that, let's go and help these brothers. That's how it's meant to be.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.